is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. If you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. Choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Who's feeling lively? Yeah, make some noise if you're happy with the brown load.
No, it's too loud, guys. It's too loud.
Yeah, see, look at that. For once, Kedge is on the receiving end of being the not lively Larry one. Satch, despite having the same amount of sleep as Kedge, is a bit more conditioned to this late night. Kedge has done one late night and he's a bit
back. It's not even one late night, Tommy. Can I just say, I've had five. I'm off the back of five late nights, and every night's been minimum 4 o'clock. So
yeah,
I'm here, and I'm still the same.
You're like a Marine. You're like a Navy SEAL of DJing, right? So you go back to back. You know, like you're the ultra marathon runner of DJing. Yeah. Whereas Kedge is like a guy who does. He did Couch to 5K, and he tried to join in on a half
fair
marathon.
Fair weather runner.
Pull the muscle. Go on. Okay. So what? Tell everybody where you were last night. So by the way. It's been a scorcher here in the UK. If you're listening from around the world, we've had phenomenal weather. So
only for 2 days. Let's keep it real. Well, it's not summer yet.
Yeah. So I was going to say that. So it's Monday now. We're recording this podcast on Monday. You're going to get this on the Thursday. So we recorded this 3 days ago. But you'll remember the weekend. And Sunday night, where were you?
But Sunday, Monday, and I can look in the head. Tuesday, Wednesday is going to be the same as the last 2 days. So we can kind of say summer is here. Yeah, kind of.
And everyone's complaining. Yeah, everyone's complaining.
But last night...
Kedge
is complaining already because he hasn't slept. And I'm trying to work out what his issue is.
Right, so yeah, we were at Latitude Festival on Sunday.
Look at his face.
I know. I'm such
Latitude is...
Latitude Festival.
We briefly mentioned this last week, but it's a big deal. It's a big festival.
It's a big deal. It's been going
for
years.
How many people, do you know?
I don't know. There's thousands. It's one of the big ones. Do you know what I mean? With Glastonbury.
How many people go to Glastonbury throughout that weekend?
I don't know.
Probably about 200,000-300,000 must be going to Glastonbury.
Must be.
If Nebworth, for Oasis, they did 100,000 people one night. Glastonbury's got to be a few hundred thousand, which means I would say this... I'm going to guess at Latitude being about 100,000. Tell everyone about Latitude and I'm going to Google it.
Okay. Well, so we were down there and for the first time ever, there was an Asian representation there. We were basically given the...
Which is a big deal, by the way.
It is.
40,000 people, 750 acts, 15 stages, 16 this year because it was a brown stage.
There was a brown stage.
No, it wasn't a brown stage. We kind of hijacked someone else's stage.
Yeah. It was the rave tent basically. Rave. And we had the closing act on the rave's tent basically. So we were on from midnight and
When you say we, Kedge?
Yeah. Well, me, isn't it, obviously. No,
it wasn't even him. Kedge, what did you even do?
What you should have done, I'll tell you what you should have done. It's the rave tent, which means I'm guessing people in there might have had a little bit of like shandies or beers.
A little bit.
Yeah, something bit, like
that. Yeah. Something just to keep something sugary, fresh air in there.
Sugary to keep them going, right? Mm. What you should have done is just midway through like Satch's set, just come out in a little loincloth as Dal Sim, right? Yeah. With a little like bald mask on and just going, yoga flame, yoga fire, breathing fire. You would have sent them all tripping off their blooming...
To be fair, there were quite a few people like that already doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I agree.
I was quite lucky that I get to choose my fantasy Desi team ahead of the fantasy Premier League team.
Can I just say, he turned up late as well.
Kedge did.
It's
not that I missed the set or anything. It was just that, you know, it took longer than expected because obviously you have to charge an electrical car. And so then you have to find the points.
I mean, look, going back to electrical cars before we move on to the actual fest, you know you've got to go somewhere far. Tommy, what would you do if you had an electric car and for that weekend you knew you were travelling over 100 miles? What would be the sensible thing to do?
I'd take my mum and dad's car, petrol car. I just come here. You take my car for the weekend. And I'm going to take yours because I need it. And actually, that is what I do when I'm going long distance. I switch it because they've got a smaller engine. Yeah, and it's like £35 to fill the whole tank. I'm like,
Well, there you go.
All up to Manchester and back, you know, on £50 rather than 120 quid or whatever it is.
Yeah.
I mean, that's didn't do that. Ked didn't do that.
No, because the thing is, it's a nice car. Like, I like the space.
You like your car? Yeah.
Because I keep it tidy, clean. You guys have been in it. It's, you know, I don't like faffing around in other people's car because they just don't keep it tidy. Anyway, so that's fine. You know, and I took that into account and I found, you know, the charging point and all of that. Anyway, we got there. And like I said, so I get to pick a fantasy team of this is basically that I'm going to basically sort of use to tear up the end of the Latitude Festival. And so, you know, you start off with harpsichord and then you bring in a little bit of Beats by Lion, the Dollies that introduce Jazz Dami. And then two DJs to take it home. You know, you need your two strong centre backs, you know, who's just going to basically hold that line for you, not concede, keep going till the last minute, final 90th minute. And those two are Satch and Jags. You know, there's no one's getting past that because that's just, you know, it's guaranteed. It's guaranteed. You've got the flair up front with harpsichord. You've got the midfield of, you know, Jazz Dami. You need someone who's a bit of a trek artista. And then you got, you know, the dollies who flood the midfield, and then you got the back two. So, you know, it was, and then obviously me, the manager. Let's not forget Jose Mourinho. So,
Jose, you were worse than Southgate, mate.
Jose Mourinho would not have had to stop to charge his car.
Yeah, exactly.
He ain't that guy. Exactly. He's like, the car will charge itself.
But can I just say, it was, but you know what? I'm going to say that I was nervous because I didn't know how this was going to go down. Yeah, Tommy knows this as well. You know, when you go to an all-English, white, middle-class crowd, you know, they're very loving people, but you're nervous. You know, and everyone was nervous.
Coordinated it all has turned up late, right? Yeah. That's always a good sign. But the thing is, they didn't need you. Harps could just get on and start DJing. Like the tent could start. Why did you? Because what time were you affected? What time was your program at this stage? 3 till 6 a.m. No, midnight till 3.
Till 3. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you were supposed to get there for midnight, and you got there late, bruv.
No, I got there for 11. I got there for 11:45. It was fine. I was not late.
That's late.
Why not?
That's late.
For 7 o'clock.
Can I just say I was there at 10:30.
Yeah. Get ready, allow for a bit of that. What?
Yeah.
You deal with, it's a bit of traffic, you had to stop food. You know, it happens. You've got to stop, you know, it happens. It's like, you know, look, at the end of the day, I was learning the way DJs roll now. You know, why am I wasting my time getting more time?
Guys, let me just point this out. If anyone has ever been in a situation where someone's blatantly bullshitting to their face.
You get
tired of calling it out. Yeah. Like I've said it a couple of times now. Kedge, what? How could you were late? You should have got.
I wasn't late.
You know, he was late.
No, but you know, like sometimes even my kids will do it. They go, oh no, you know what? You know when someone says you know what it is, they're about to bullshit you.
Yeah.
No, you know what he was. I tell you truthfully what it is, right? And you're like, you know, I know, and even I had to get some food because they don't have that at the festival. Yeah, you know, it just sounds like it. Just then you end up just letting it go. Okay, mate. Cool.
If anything, I was the guy that was there early and kind of coordinating everyone else. So I was like, right, I met the fella who was in charge of us. I said to everyone, right, you got to go in and get your passes and all of this kind of stuff. Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, you know, that weren't really my job, to be quite honest.
No. But it was good. And you know what? It was brilliant because every single one of these guys, you know, if you're looking for an MVP throughout the team, every single one of these boys and girls, they turned up. And they, you know, I was shocked. And I'm just going to give you a little rundown. Obviously, Harp started it off and was like mixing the English tunes, the house tunes with the Bhangra and the Bollywood. And then you've got Jazz Dami. Again, you're nervous. How's everyone going to take to Jazz Dami? Jazz Dami's brilliant, knows how to work a crowd and the dollies and all that.
Did he do high heels?
Of course he did. And they loved it. You know what? Can I just say, the reaction that you get from Gore for high heels, who've never heard it, they absolutely love it instantly. Yeah. There's something universal about that sound.
And then
when that act finished and the dollies walk off and everything, everyone thought, oh, that's the end of, you know what I mean? Like, that's the end of that show. So a lot of people left the tent at that point. Do you know what I mean? Because we were up to about, I reckon, 1,000 people at one point. And a lot of people started leaving. And when Satch came on, I was like, oh, this is, you know, it's not nice because the crowd's not there. And how is Satch going to deal with this? But Satch, again, just being that, you know, engineer, the craft that he's got at just reading the room. And I'm going to big him up.
Bhangra Buttock remixes.
He wanted to. I said,
Ministry of Sound presents
yeah.
the Fogany Collection.
He wanted to, and I was ready with a dandy. I said, maybe not tonight. So but then Satch just read the room so well. He played some old school, like deep house, all those bangers from back in the day as well. And the man.
What was it? What did you go with? What was the opening song?
Living Joy, Strike, yeah,
Dreamer.
I can't get no sleep.
Bit of insomnia. Yeah. I went a bit like trancey as well. Do you know, like Toker's Miracle, stuff like
Miracle.
That? Yeah. And do you know what? Baby D, it went down.
Baby D came in as well. Can I just say, like, the hill from back where people would just start coming back in and flooding. Satch brought that tent back to capacity. It was incredible just watching that, because normally DJs don't know, they panic, and then they lose it, and that's it. There's no recovery. But this guy, and, you know, I'm going to say it, and I'm not just saying it because, he's on the podcast, but he brought it back from literally nothing. You know, and that takes a lot of skill to read that, to bring it back. And actually, it was ready-made for then Jax Climax, who comes in. My God, me and Satch couldn't even control ourselves. Jax's first tune. It was some next remix of Punjabi MC, Mundi and the Budget. Bro, I was trying to film it. I couldn't even stand still because I was just jumping around like an absolute madman. I've never heard Satch react to someone dropping a tune like that for another DJ. And when Jax dropped it, it was brilliant. And Jax just tore it up until 3 o'clock.
And there's something to be said for tunes being played in a tent like that with thousands of people or hundreds of people all around it. I never, my first festival was 17 years old and I was with my mate Happy.
Where was it? It was not Tribal Gathering.
It was Tribal Gathering.
Oh.
And it's called that and it was in Luton and it was 25,000.
Luton.
I remember, I didn't even really know where Luton was when I was 17. You just know it's somewhere.
You don't. It's up north.
I'm in a car with my mates. And they were slightly older, so they had driving licenses, and I'm 17, I've just got in with them. But I never forget it. I was in the tent, house music, and it was going right. Everybody roared. So I looked around. I was looking around and I went,
What's everyone roar for? Yeah.
And he went, the beat just dropped. The kick just kicked in.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I looked at the DJ and he had his hands in the air and everyone's worshiping. And I thought, I think I want to be a DJ.
How old were you? 17.
17, yeah.
Oh, wow. And you wanted to be a DJ at 17?
Well, I'd started to mix at 16, but then that's why I went, because I was like, oh, yeah, I know club music and house music. I was following it. But then I just saw that. I was like, I want that. It's the same with Blind Date. When I was on Blind Date and the doors open, and I jumped out and Scylla's there and everyone roared, I was like, I want this all the time. I just want to do this.
It's nice.
The ego kicks in. My point is, there's that. So when I saw that little video, and I did see a little video of Jags Climax playing that Monday with the Budget Remix.
Yeah.
It straight away took me back to my youth. And like you, Kedge, I don't think I could do it now. I just can't. I went to Scotland over the weekend and I had to get up at 4 or 5 a.m.
Yeah.
On a flight for like 7. Be there for 9, wait for the hotel to let us in by midday. Then I slept I had to sleep all day. I was battered just from getting up at a silly o'clock. I don't know how I do that. If we got offered the breakfast show, just in my weird way, right?
Yeah.
If they rung us up tomorrow and went, actually, we made a big mistake. We'd like to have you back, right?
Yeah.
I don't think I'd have to say, I don't think I could do it now. I think it's a 30-year-old man's game. It's not a 47-year-old man's game.
It's a no for me, definitely.
Those hours are killer. So I'm saying I can see why you're battered and all that today.
Yeah, no, but, and also it's because it's lack of sleep as well, because it's a 3-hour journey back, because we're out in the middle of nowhere.
One day.
I've had 3 hours sleep and then I've had
I don't care. I've had 3 hours sleep. I'll cut the grass. I wash the car. I did everything around the house.
For me, the whole body clock.
Went shopping.
I can't do the yoga. I can't, then it's like...
I went to the gym, got a walk in. I've done everything today.
I've been sweating, it feels like I've been sweating alcohol out of my body. I haven't had one drop of alcohol all weekend, feels like, that's how I am. I'm sweating and my eyes are burning.
Your eyes and you look bad. But just you know this, kid.
Thank you.
I can see you're fatigued. Did you have a few drinks? Whatever, would you get carried away?
Yeah, not one,
nothing.
But just know this: in this situation now, when you're feeling a bit crap, I see it in your eyes. I'm like, man, you just need a good night's sleep, bro. Take it easy. Fine, you'll be good in a bit. And then you'll have great memories. You created something special. Yeah. You made this whole thing happen. So you took over this dance tent. You instigating those conversations. Said, let me bring some Desi's down there. Let's have a little Desi influence at Latitude. Wicked. But know this. If I was you right now, what you would do is give me 5 points as to books I need to read or a series I need to watch to help me manage my lifestyle and going up. And I'm like, you know what, Trent? I don't need this right now. So just know this. Right now, while you're feeling the way you are, I'm not going to be Kedge. I'm
going to go, no, I love you should. Man. I'm going to be Kedge.
I will not do that. I will not lower myself.
I'm going to be him because he's that guy. When I'm down and out and tired, he's just giving me shit over the phone.
Yeah, finish it off.
Yeah, exactly. I'm ready for the podcast.
He's like my wife.
No,
if I confess to my wife, oh man, you know what? I'm feeling a bit this, whatever. Yeah, well, you know what? It's because you go at it. So, if you hadn't done that, I'm like, you know what? You just have to, like, right, while he's on the ropes, let's just push him out the ring. She just
I'm ready.
Clothesline over the top.
And to kick it off, to be fair, because something that Kedge said on the podcast last week was about how the Ambanis are going to be in Slough or London, should I say, celebrating. Yeah. Well, it was not Stoke Poges, it's Stoke Park. That's where that's the name of the place.
Right.
Stoke Park put a statement out, probably after they heard the Brown load, and they said, bruv, there's nothing happening at our venue. I don't know where this
is. But it is weird that it's been blocked out for a month.
No, but that's neither here nor there. They're not doing anything.
They have to say you're making
fake news, bruv. Like,
I don't know. I mean, like I said, I had it. The Sun newspaper had it. You know, all the big people had it, and so therefore now they've bottled it. I think they're buying it. I think they're coming down to East London. They're going to just have it in Tommy's garage because it's going to be available soon.
It will be available soon. Yeah,
down that way. It's not happening.
I was up in Scotland and talking about Kedge's fake news. Kedge's the effects of the Kedge.
Hold on, what is it? Are we just battering Kedge while he's down?
Yeah.
I wasn't going to do this story, but Satcha just messaged me on the D-Lo and said, bruv, do the Scotland story.
Drop it.
This is our moment. Let's see if we can kill him off.
I'm ready.
Come on down for next week. I'm kidding. So he goes, so I'm up there. So by the way, in Scotland, I was booked for one night to host a party for a businessman and just introduce some acts and things like that. And just, it's lovely. And he said, look, Tommy, I just want you there. Kind of enjoy it. It's, you know, he goes, he's a big businessman, very successful. So a lot of his friends are very wealthy people. There was a seaplane where people had arrived onto the Le Mans.
Right? What?
This hotel was the Cameron House. If anybody ever wants to stay in probably what is one of the most special looking hotel type things on Loch Lomond. This camera was unbelievable. Anyway, so this Desi guy's got the party there. Lovely guy, Puneet. And he's there and I'm going around. And obviously I've hosted quite a few award shows. So there's quite a few of these business people are coming up going, oh, Tommy, we met you there. And one guy goes, I've got to tell you this, right? Mm. He goes, I'm a big fan of the Brown Load. I said, all right. Mm. He goes, there I was in Northwest London. And I'm going, which is where Kedge is from.
Yeah.
He goes, I'm playing five-a-side football. He goes, I listened to the Brown Load so much. Yeah. I heard a guy shouting and I thought,
oh no.
Right?
Oh no, shut up.
He goes, I went up to, he goes, and I, he goes, it wasn't, I went, it wasn't in your pitch. He goes, no, it wasn't my pitch. It was another. Oh, okay. I know he played from the other side.
Yeah.
And he goes, it's the pitch next door. And he goes, I look around. I went up to him and went, you're Kedge. And he went, yeah. He goes, I don't, you know, I didn't know you were here. I just heard your voice and I recognized you. His name was Jay. And apparently he came over and he said, like, I don't know if he did come over and say hello. He said he was going to say hello. But Jay from Scotland recognized your voice on a pitch next door to you because you're effing and blinding and shouting so much on that
hilarious
pitch. Oh, right now, I know you haven't got that jarn in you, but Jay, he came up and said hello. Everyone was
he didn't come up really, I think he lovely. Came to say hello to me because I would have known that I would have been
I think he said he was gonna or
yeah he was gonna game, probably yeah, that. Yeah,
but,
yeah
but there you go.
I was on one last week so he would have heard a lot of shouting. I ended up in a little bit of an argy-bargy, like a little verbal spat. I'm going to bring it. I want to share it.
Did it not get physical? Was it just verbal?
No, it didn't get physical because he's a big black dude and he's bigger than me. So, you know, you do it from a distance, don't you? You do it from a distance.
Yeah, all mouth over there.
Yeah. So basically what happened is I was playing defence. He's a striker. So it's always me against him, right? And we always have, it's a good argy-bargy because he likes to try and get past me. It's always good build battle, but you know, he's a good player, but he lacks, and I can say that because he'll probably know it himself, but he lacks a little bit of composure when it comes to finishing. So he just puts his foot through all the time, so it's never on target, right? Because he doesn't have that composure, so he panics and he just lashes his foot through it if he does get if he does get
young.
Niche.
Is he young?
No, no, he's older than me. He's actually a little bit, he's a little, like, maybe 50, early 50s maybe. But he's got good physique.
A young person,
no, on, no, yeah, no, 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 no. So we always have a bit of argy-bargy. And then, so there was this thing where we were both running for the ball. He had the ball and I was running with him and we were just trying to tussle each other and he was through on goal. And I know that this guy hasn't got the composure. So I just went, shoot!
What? Shoot. You shouted shoot.
I just said shoot, and he kicked it, and he went outside the pitch. Right,
you're that guy, right? Like this,
and then I just turned around and walked away. Right, and he went, "That's not on, bruv." He goes, "That is so childish, bruv."
Yeah,
because I said shoot. I said Marlon, come on, bruv. I said, you know, because we're friends. I said, don't be silly, mate.
What's his name? Marnock.
Marlon.
Have you said Marnock?
No. I said, Miles, come on, bruv. I said, don't be silly. He went, that. Yeah. He goes, you know what he said to me? He goes, that is so childish. He goes, I come here to have a bit of fun to play football. I said, bruv, you're getting angry. I said, you're getting angry because I said, shoot. I said, don't be silly, mate. Right? Yeah. And he was still going. He goes, I'm not even angry. And then he started walking towards me. So I started walking as if I was playing striker. I'm not defending anymore. I'm walking away from his brother. Right? Yeah. But he got all funny about it. And then I thought, well, that's a bit weird. But I thought, 1-0 to Kedge. I've got into his head. Because that's half the game. If you can get into a striker's head, that's it. He's gone. So then a little bit later, and you know, because I'm just, you guys know how irritating I am. And I can be. Because once I'm on that wind-up sort of path, I will keep going now. So then they came for another attack and there was 3-2. And one of the guys who was attacking passed it to his other mate who was attacking. And then his teammate, Marlon's teammate, shouted, shoo, right? So I went, what are you doing, bro? Don't say shoot to your team player. You put him off. And I looked at Marlon.
Did he laugh or did he lose it again?
He was just angry. He was just angry. Yeah. And he thought,
and do you know what? And this is why, Kedge, one day when you come out of that pitch with a broken foot or an ankle or something, someone's kicked you in your shin, you know why?
I know.
Because I'm telling you, it's going
to
come.
But is it, guys, is it petty to shout a shoe just to put someone off? I mean, to put someone off, come on, it's part of the game. Come on.
I don't play five-a-side football, as you know, but I play basketball, and it's a technical foul to shout anything while someone shoots. So you can't.
Shut, is it?
You can't.
Is
go,
it? Is it?
No, you can't. You can't do that.
Oh, wow.
I think I've got something stuck in my throat or something. I don't know what happened. I just went, shoot.
That's not going to be.
That doesn't go on Premier League pitches. Come on, that's ridiculous.
And they'll be saying all sorts of cussing each other out and all that. Yeah, so I think it's a trash talk.
So speaking of football and basketball, two games that you both play, obviously the big news that's happened this weekend, and I'm a bit gutted about this because I didn't really get the chance to fully involve myself in the Olympic Olympics yet. Because I've been so busy. I've been watching bits and bobs. And I think today, Monday's been the one day where I've kind of caught quite a lot of it. So started off with a bit of equestrian. Ain't got a clue what's going on. Horses jumping over fences.
I thought that's boring. I saw a bit of that.
It was. And then it was like mountain biking. People in the hills going up and down hills on bikes.
That's okay. Did you not see the diving? I saw the diving. That was fun.
I saw a bit of diving. And then there was, what was on this evening? That was quite...
Is there an Asian guy? Is there an Asian guy in Team GB then?
Yeah.
Is there? Doing what?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's with the divers because that's the photo that Tom Daly put up with the 6 boys, 5 rings.
Yeah, that's what he said. That's what he put up. He was like trying to be a little bit naughty about it. 6 boys and 5 rings. Mm. But I swear there's a young Desi lad who's diving. But anyway,
go on.
I haven't seen him. What was it on today? There was something on today, and I was just like, again, this was just brilliant. Do you know what I find with the Olympics? You're watching stuff that you'd never watch ever in your life.
That's just quite the Olympic expert. He turns into one, doesn't he?
I love it. Honestly, it's so good because you're just watching stuff you'd never. All we do really, Kedge, is watch football and cricket mostly.
Yeah.
So to watch, you know, loads of other sports that are going on, it's quite good. And I think this is what the Olympics is all about.
And I actually sat through the 4-hour opening ceremony on Friday, and it was done for the first time not in the stadium but down the River Seine. That was, you know, they were all coming out on boats.
Can I just say I didn't like that?
Oh, you sound like my parents now, Satch.
No, I didn't. Do you know what? The Olympic Games, an opening ceremony has to happen in the big stadium.
No.
Otherwise, I'm... Well, then you... No, I'm sorry. That's like saying, all right, we'll play the FA Cup in flipping, I don't know, a park in Harrow.
Wimbledon. That
makes sense, does it? It don't make sense. It just, but you might as well... It has to be.
No, but no, there's no, you're allowed to change the rules slightly.
And I'm sorry, people coming out from their countries on boats. No, I don't want to.
I thought it's quite funny when India were on a boat. I thought that was funny. Come on.
Yeah, no,
everyone had a moment then going, oh, look, the India team on a boat. Whee!
Rubbish. It's so rubbish. I wanted to see them go around the track as they do, you know, normally for the Olympics. There was just, because it was all over the place, I thought, this is just crap. Like, I wasn't a fan of it.
No, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. And then, you know, like they had that catwalk in the middle of it. And, you know, you had Lady Gaga.
Yeah, there was some weird stuff going on.
Snoop Dogg was there. Well, Snoop Dogg holding the flame, which looked like enough massive Rizzler when he was holding it.
Did you see the clip of Snoop Dogg? Someone's interviewing him in French. Have you seen that clip?
No, I've not seen that.
I have seen it.
It's borderline racist because he's got like they go, oh, bonjour, Snoop Dogg. He goes, ah, oui, oui. Like that, he's got like, right? And he goes, and whatever she says to him, let's say he goes, oh, qu'est-ce que vous avez comme
sport?
And he'll go, he just went, ah, qu'est-ce que vous avez comme. And he just copied what she said, nodded his eye, and walked off. I'm like, dude, you can't just take the mick out of someone. But I would have liked to come out on that opening ceremony. I heard the opening ceremony was a bit rubbish, actually. I didn't watch it, but I got messages from people saying, oh, it's rubbish, whatever, it's on the River Seine. But I thought I would have liked to just come down it and just played Insane in the Membrane. Because I think there's not going to be many opportunities to play that song when you're on the River Seine.
Can I just say, do you know what? Paris, yeah, they give it the big one about the Eiffel Tower and all of this, you know, stuff that they have. I'm sorry, when you look at London 2012's opening ceremony, we had James Bond, Mr. Bean and the Queen. Mm. Yeah. Like, sorry, you cannot even come close.
Yeah.
No, I know what you mean. Like, I know what you mean about that, but
who have you got? No one.
Celine Dion was brilliant at the end. Celine Dion.
Who was? Is she singing?
She was singing. This is it. Like, you know, with all the issues of health problems she's got.
Yeah.
I mean, if you've seen that dog, which is quite shocking, actually.
Yeah,
you know,
dark, got
yeah. But she managed to, you know, she said she was always going to perform one more time. And she was, that was a moment, I'll tell you that. And the Eiffel Tower looked sexy. And actually, Satch, it's not that bad, Paris. I'm going to be there. Paris. I'm going to be there later on in the week. I'll be reporting live because I'm going to the...
What are you doing there now?
I've got tickets to the most sought after match that's happening at the Olympics. So I'm going to be...
What is it?
It's volleyball. And it's the big, the two giants of the game.
Beach volleyball?
No, it's the indoor one. So it's the full camp team. Okay. Women's. This is the match that everyone's talking about. Poland versus Kenya.
Yeah, everyone knows it.
Name me a Polish volleyball player.
Bruv, no.
Enough the Netski.
No one. Oh, look. Sorry. Can I just say, I found it. I've just all that time I was looking for what the Desky diver.
Yeah.
His name is?
Go on.
Kyle.
I can't read
Kotari.
It. He's good drawing.
Yeah, man. Right. He has to be. Bruv, the whole point in diving is you've got to be lean, light, and not make a splash.
Right.
There's
no way a Punjabi kid's going into that pool without a splash.
No way, bruv. Just a Punjabi thigh would make too much of a splash. You need a Gujarati lean machine there. So big up Carl Kotari. KK. We'll call him KK. He's our KK.
KK.
You know what? I'm going to look out for him. Do you know what? In all the times that I've been catching bits of the Olympics, it always made me think, and I was like, if I was to ever represent Team GB or whatever team, what sport would I want to be a part of?
Powerlifting.
And do you know, like the other day, like I was looking at the basketball was on, and you see like LeBron in that, and I'm like, wow, like that is. That's not like that's proper sportsman. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's not like you're not messing around because you could be a b-ball player for like I don't know some random country like Romania or something. But if you get drawn against USA, you are playing against the best in the world.
Exactly. Yeah, and it'd be a chance for some part-time basketball player to play against LeBron James, particularly you know in proper NBA players. Can I ask something a little bit silly? Is football in the Olympics?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, you'll have to have one Buddha playing for you as well. One legend.
So have we got? Like, is Harry Kane, are they all playing in this?
No, it's not that lineup because it's a GB team as well.
That's even better. So you take the most, you take, you can have,
yeah, but I think they give people, I think they give people a chance who don't, do you know what I mean? Normally, it's not like what? You don't put your best players out in there.
Yeah. No, but that, yeah, I don't get that because look, remember when like the USA team had all of those all-stars in it a few years ago. Yeah. They just came and thought, do you know what, we're going to mess this up. Like we're going to win that gold. Like we're not even, if I was a UK, I think I would go with like a full strength England, GB team to win the gold. You should do, right?
And you pick some bad boys from Scotland, England, Wales and all that, get them all together and let's do it with Ireland as well. I mean, great. Anyway.
Go on, Kitch. What sport would you do?
I think I would quite fancy the BMX thing.
Oh.
The BMX one.
Did you have BMX game when you were young?
Oh, the BMX game. I had a BMX. And
what colour were your tyres?
So black with like they had like a gold in it. The whole car.
I know exactly what you mean. Round the side of it, like a rubber.
Yeah.
A bit retro. It looks a bit retro.
Yeah, the whole bike was like yellowy, goldy, and black. And then I had the Kellogg's cornflakes.
The different colour wheels were good for different surfaces, apparently.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So like that one was red was for the road, green was for grass.
I didn't know that.
I think black might have been the all rounder.
I had the Kellogg's cornflakes spokes on it, and the Frosties reflectors on it.
Did you have stud nuts?
Yep, I had the stud nuts. You
needed
a crossy. Or were you the crossy? Or did you used to go on the crossy?
It depends who was bigger.
When you used to sit on the crossy bar, did you used to sit with one leg either side, or did you sit sideways?
No, like sideways, like a
college romance in Tendigar.
That is an auntie on a moped.
It was auntie. How can you sit with your legs on that thin pole? That is impossible.
Some people did. I don't know whether they were clenching and stopping the pole from going.
No chance.
Don't forget, you had that pad. You had that pad that went across that bit of the frame where you would sit.
It was a pad, but it was, come on.
And Tommy, what would you go for? What would your sport be?
Okay, so, right, this is a genuine thing. So when I was young, I think I was really good at rounders. I was actually really good. My hand-eye coordination was good. Mm. And I was consistently used to knock the tennis ball or the rounders ball like out of the school playground. I remember it going out to the playground. And I remember my teacher saying, I've never seen anyone hit. But no one channeled my strengths. No one thought, actually, you know what? Maybe this little Jotto Motto from East London, maybe he's got something. And that was it. So I think I'd like to go back and kind of do some sort of power thing. Rather than, I couldn't do any running, anything long distance, anything stamina required. Mm. I'd want to do like shot put, discus, javelin.
I think I'd want to do something throwing based. It's all about the throwing. So yeah, probably shot put. I think I'd like.
I can see you doing that. I can see you being a power lifter as well because you've got big legs as well. You've got good calves, and I think that's the base. So I can imagine you going down, locking in.
Yeah,
hinging up. You carry record boxes, record bags.
Do you know what I could see Kedge doing? That thing in gymnastics. You know where they're swirling around the. It's just it's not even that. I'm talking about the girls where they've got the wand.
The floor work, gymnastic.
Yeah, the floor work. I could see you doing that, Kedge.
I wouldn't mind to do flips.
Did you see the two fencing guys kick off?
Oh my God, what is that? Brilliant.
So they obviously lunged in, one of them, and they both thought they'd won. It was weird. I be honest? I'm going to say it, right? I'm a man. But I looked at them and I'm like, oh my God, you're being such typical blokes. You're such twats. Do you know what I mean?
They both wanted to win it. And so every time the other one stopped, he went louder.
Stop there. Everyone who goes to the Olympics wants to win it. Okay. Stop being that's true. Not you, them.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So they lunged in and obviously the swords have both hit either of them. So both of them have hit each other.
Yeah.
And they both think they won it. And so it became a screaming match as to who could alpha out-scream the other. It was beastly. It was an embarrassment to men. He goes, yeah! And the other one's going, yeah! And he's going, yeah! And they're just carrying on over each other.
I did enjoy it.
Like, you know, in a boxing match, when a boxer thinks he's won and they kind of at the 12th round, the bell goes, they put their arms up, they go to their team like, yeah, I think I've got this. And the other one will go, yeah, I think I got this. But it comes down to the points. But they don't start shouting at each other like knobs. And these two were like, probably not. And then the official adjudicator comes out and basically goes, no, technical foul. You've done something wrong to one of the guys. Yeah. Yeah. And he lost his shit like a kid.
Yeah.
Like, you're a grown-ass man.
And this is the beauty of the Olympics, because this is, again, stuff that we don't ever see. Because there's people from all around the world. You don't know how they're going to react. So when things like that happens, anything could happen, really. Do you know what I mean? It's just, it's so
he's
good.
He's got a sword in his hand.
Yeah, yeah. It's very unpredictable.
And it is unpredictable.
That's what I love about the Olympics.
You know, talking of unpredictable, they've got this problem with the River Seine as well. Like they want to do this triathlon, but it's not safe to swim in it. And they've spent millions of pounds on it, and they can't do it. And so if it doesn't work out, and I think the announcement was earlier today, I don't even know what the announcement was, but basically all I heard was if it's not safe for the triathlon, it's going to become a dualathon. And then you just sort of cycle and run, which I thought, well,
that's crap, mate.
And then, you know, the whole thing about the River Seine, because there was a film on Netflix recently about Under Paris, which is about basically how a shark is like, you know, the sharks are now come to basically mate and breed in the River Seine. And you're just thinking, God, imagine if that is actually true. Like, you know, how mad would that be?
Did I hear something? Sharks been spotted here?
Yeah, Thames. There's a shark in the Thames.
Was that real though? Was that just like a big fish?
It's real. It's a proper shark, Tommy.
Apparently they come into it because it's like slightly warmer here.
Warmer.
And breed and stuff like that. So yeah, like that film in Paris is actually happening in real life in London.
Oh, blimey. Quickly, I saw a TikTok, a source of all information. I said it every week. of people paragliding and they're filming. They're up there in the sky.
Yeah.
With their rassi tying them to the boat.
Yeah.
And below, they can see a shark in the water. Have you seen the video?
Yeah. Right? No.
Obviously, as part of the tamasha, what they do is they slow the boat down.
And so it lowers
Your paragliding comes right lower.
Yeah.
They're going, no! They're screaming, no! Shark! And the guy's going, okay, you go down now. We have a good time. And I'm like, can you imagine that moment?
Have you ever paraglided?
No.
Yeah, I have. Yeah,
I've done it.
It's quite nice.
It's really good. Yeah. I liked it. It was good. And speaking of sharks, seeing as we're speaking about sharks at the moment, have you seen the story that came out of Brazil? This was crazy. They found traces of cocaine in sharks.
Oh my god!
And do you know what? It just reminded me of that film, Cocaine Bear, because obviously
what a film!
Imagine that in the water with sharks, mate. Yeah, we don't want to be.
You know what made that film? Because somewhere in South America, probably some ship has been whatever capsized or whatever reasons. So all of its stash of illegal drugs has gone into the ocean. These aren't sharks that just found their own way of cutting up their own cocaine underwater. There's not a secret little, Walter White Breaking Bad crystal meth den underneath.
You never know.
Very different version.
The guy out there selling it to other sharks, we don't know what's going on, mate. Who's got the food?
But I'm like, isn't cocaine known to make people a bit aggressive and edgy? And I'm like, imagine giving that to a shark of all things. Exactly. I'm like, give it to a koala bear, see what happens. Don't tell me give it to a shark. But yeah, you're right. Sharks are off their nut as well. Can I quickly just say today, I feel a bit run down now. Look, my rundowniness coming in. The hay fever is kicking in as well. Mm. But we just did Colors TV, just filmed Desi Beat, right? Filmed it today, you're going to film it Wednesday as well. They said, oh, Tommy, you know, can we film an episode with you at your house? We're coming up to 25 episodes. Maybe you could do something special for that one. So do you want to do it with your friends? Do you want to do it with your family? Whatever. I said, oh, well, I might be moving out of my house. I could do something with my neighbors, but I said, I don't know what they're going to be like. Maybe you want to keep it a bit more desi for the channel. They're like, oh, what about your family? I said, oh, my wife's not really a camera type of person. She don't really like that kind of thing. They go, your mum and dad are going to... They go, what about your podcast, boys? Right? And I'm like, what? Right? And I went, what do you mean? They went, would you want to cook for them? So my question to you is, would you want to feature on a Colors TV Desi Beat episode? And more importantly, do the Brownload listeners want to see Kej and Satch at my house eating food?
But hang on, what do I need to do?
Eat food.
Oh, that's quite easy.
Eat food, hang out, tell some stories about me, make out that we're all fun and we get on, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, tell some stories about you.
Yeah. I think what we do, we put this to the poll. Let's put a poll out.
Okay.
Yeah, no, but they're going to say yes, aren't they?
No, I don't think they will. Yeah. I don't think they will.
Of course they will.
Well, what's the reason for them to say no?
Yeah, exactly. They'll definitely say yes.
What? Sorry, because they said This is how it also came out. They went, oh, we've got some festivals coming up. Maybe do you celebrate Janmashtami? I went, no, I don't. And I went, well, so I said, I'm Sikh. And then she said, oh, then there's What's it called? What's this brother sister festival? Oh my God, Raksha Bandhan.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, that's like in a few days, but we need to film beforehand. And my sisters are both away on holiday. I'm like, no, I can't do that with them. And then they said, and actually, I know it's Ganesh's birthday.
Ganesh Chaturthi.
When's that? That's
I don't know when it is, but
I think it's early September from what I remember. They go, so we'd want to film end of August, right? And I went, okay, that gives the boys time. So basically, it looks like you're going to celebrate Ganesh's birthday at your Sikh brother's house. And I
thought, that's a first.
Yeah, I mean, so I'll make something vegetarian. I'll make something cool. I'll make something,
What? You're making something vegetarian? Bro, I ain't coming if you're making anything vegetarian. I'm out.
Like that.
No, but forget the religious part. I just want to come for munch. If you're going to make butter chicken like you did the other day, then I'm in. That's the only way you get for a religious festival.
I can't do it for that.
It's not going to be. Forget the religious part of it. We're not going to do it for that.
I love it.
If you want me to come, you're making butter chicken because that was bang.
I don't know whether I'm going to get killed for this or you're going to get killed for it. But Sach has basically gone, don't worry about Ganesh. Where's my butter chicken? Which basically is what you just said. So someone's going to help.
I've not said that. I'm just saying I don't want to be on there for one of those festival ones.
Actually, you know, and I know meat is more my strength. So basically, I think we might have to do that, boys. And I thought I'd say it to you just live on a podcast so you couldn't say no. And I'd like it. So if we could stage a few things, we'll have some fun with it as well. Okay, we'll have a good time. Right,
I love that.
I haven't watched anything. I don't know what's going on. I haven't watched even a ceremony and all that. So there's no telly to watch, no film to review. Let's go straight to things we've learned. What have you learned?
Okay, things we learned.
Go on, Kedge.
My one is the famous phrase that you might even hear while the Olympics are on, when someone is about to win gold and they're close but no cigar. That phrase, close but no cigar, where does that come from?
I would say, okay, it's funny because, you know, tell you what I thought about today, just connected, is can you see the bigger picture?
Oh,
right? Yeah. I thought, why bigger? I thought, oh no, that's quite obvious actually. That's like a zoom in, like you've zoomed into something, zoom out, see the bigger picture. Right? Yeah. So I get that. So hence why, with what you're saying now, is close but no cigar. I think this is a race. It would have been some traditional old school race where at the end of the race, if you won it, you got a cigar.
Oh, but, okay. You're close. I'll give you that. It's an old school. Okay. Not a bad little guess that. So in the 1920s, if you attended a carnival and you played a game to win a prize, the adults would anyway, they would aim to win the top prize, which was a cigar. But if you didn't get to this top prize, then you literally would be close, but no cigar. And that's how that phrase has come about into existence.
Close, but no cigar.
Here we go.
Very good.
Love it.
Satch.
Shall I go next? Thing is, Kedge, is kind of Olympic related. This is something that, again, I saw at the opening ceremony.
Mm.
And I was like, there's nothing like that I've seen. And what I'm referring to is the flag of Nepal, when Nepal came out, the Olympic team.
Yeah.
Nepal, have you seen their flag? What their flag's like? Because it's not like a regular rectangle or anything like that. It's a different shape.
Oh, altogether. Yeah, it is. You're right. It's like a half a Christmas tree or something, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like two triangles. Yeah,
it's half a Christmas tree. When you draw it as a child, it's half a Christmas tree with two pointy bits.
Nepal is the only country in the world that has a non-quadrilateral shape in their flag.
Wow. Look at that.
What's that mean? I mean, like a non...
So it's not a rectangle
or a square. It's like sound shape.
Half a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Wow.
Didn't know that. Nice one. Okay. The one I got is it's funny, isn't it? Like, do you ever find this in life when you find out something and then it kind of features again? It's a bit like that whole thing of like someone buys a certain car, I don't know, a VW Golf. And then you're gonna see brand new VW Golfs or something like that. You're gonna see them all the time. So my fact is about tiramisu. I'm not saying it right.
Who's Masi?
Tiramisu.
Yeah.
You know what tiramisu. I did there? Right. Exactly. So this is how it came about. So I did a comedy night last Thursday and someone came up to me there and goes, oh, you know what? I used to watch you on the radio stuff. I saw your Desi Oakies. One of the funniest ones was Paul Chowdhury.
Yeah.
And they went, the way he sings tiramisu, because he sung it to the tune of
Gujarati.
Yeah,
tiramisu.
Because he was, I think he started saying Gujarati. Is that like Gujarella? She's just singing about desserts.
Yeah,
how about tiramisu? And he does that, and I've got that tiramisu in my head now, which is why I said it like that. So tiramisu. And then I saw this fact about it, which I'm going to share with you in a minute. And then I was hosting this party on the weekend. Mm. And the guy goes, and I was going around to people on the different tables. And I was going, oh, if you could describe the birthday boy as a dessert, as a food dish, what would it be?
Yeah.
And he'd go, oh, he's a tiramisu. And I went, all right, why is that? And he went, it just is.
Did anyone call him a spotted dick?
No, no one called him a spotted dick. It was only one question. No, no one's seen his dick, I don't think. So I don't know if it's spotty or not. But I then went, no, he's a tiramisu because he's layered and brown on the outside. And everyone went, hey, right? So I got away. I had to dig him out of it. But the fact I've got about tiramisu, which is just it's an interesting thing, is that the pastry chef that was the man who invented tiramisu has passed away after a long illness.
Oh. But
his full name is Roberto Lully. No, not Lully. Loyal. L-O-I-L. I thought it was L-O-L-I. Roberto Loyal Linguanotto.
Okay.
Linguanotto.
Yeah.
The Linguanotto has passed away. He invented the tiramisu. Now, you might think that's no big deal. But imagine being the guy that invented the dessert. That's what your legacy. That's what you're going to leave the earth. I think that's a nice thing to leave the planet. Isn't it?
You know what?
Dessert.
I didn't realize that the tiramisu's that new.
Yeah. He's 90 years old?
He's 81. He dies 81, right? So let's even if he invented it when he was 20, that's 60 years ago, right?
That's not that long.
What? That is incredible.
Yeah, it's quite new.
It's quite a new dessert.
Most of our parents might be older than tiramisu.
Yeah,
maybe
for sure.
I think my musty is older than my masu. So my musty is older than the tiramisu, probably. There you go. There's something to leave you with. There you go. I don't think that's going to make the Christmas highlights, but I thought I'd write it anyway. Kedge, how long do you reckon it'll take you to fall asleep tonight?
3 seconds. I'm literally just saying goodbye now. I'm waiting.
No, he didn't ask about that. He said about how you're falling asleep.
I've got one leg. I've got one leg in the bed. Just say goodnight. See you next week. Just do it. Come on. I'm gone. I'm going. Hurry up. Don't waste time now.
He's taken the laptop into the bed with him. And that, by the way, again, the reason why we're online again is because Kedge is too tired to come around.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks on the trot now. It's him.
I think next week we're going to have to call a HR meeting. All right.
Yeah. And can I just say, do you know what? I get people messaging me saying, oh, it's not an hour this week. Can I just say, divert all of your messages to you know who? Because it ain't me.
Yeah.
Hey, me.
I was ready to come around and meet you, come in person, Tommy, and be with you this evening. But, yeah.
Next time, I think we should carry on regardless. And me and you should be around one computer screen and just leave him on his own down the line. There you go. Listen, we're together, at least. I'll make butter chicken and everything, babes. All right? Don't worry.
Deal.
All right. Okay, boys. Until next week. Catch you later. Are we back in person, Kedge? Is that all right? Is that you're right to?
Yeah, we'll try. Yeah. We'll see if I've
come. That'd be nice. All right, then, boys. Have a good one. Take it easy, everyone. Have a good one. Catch you later.
Laters.